contact list on my phone. I've looked at it a lot, but I've not found Jesus' number yet. Maybe he's not into the modern technologies. I don't know. Maybe he can even go beyond that, if that's the case. A long time ago, I lived in Wyoming, and I managed to survive trips across the upper Midwest to visit family by listening to tapes, audio tapes, on my car. And I don't know what I would have done without Garrison Keillor and Tales of Lake Wobegon. He had one series that was spring, summer, autumn, winter, and listened to those over and over and over and over again until I virtually had them memorized. I firmly believe then, and I believe now, that he's probably one of the greatest storytellers that we've ever had in America. And I always thought, wow, that's such a wonderful way to communicate. I wish I could do that on a regular basis with the congregation. And then I had the opportunity at Desert Cross in Tempe to do that on Saturday nights. I could do whatever I want, so I said, well, I think I'm going to tell a story, just like Garrison Keillor does. So every Saturday night for about 15 years, about the same time that Garrison was doing his thing on the radio, I did my thing at Desert Cross, giving a little story about a mythical congregation called Crown and Cactus Lutheran Church. And I decided that I would do that this morning with you. I've been continuing to do it on a blog in the last 3 years since I've retired. And so all those characters and all those people are so familiar to me, and they're so real. In fact, they're more real than some of the people I actually know. It's always nice to have mythical friends, isn't it? Well, it's been a quiet week at Crown and Cactus Lutheran Church, a little congregation over there between Mesa and Gilbert and Chandler. They're getting ready for their big consecration Sunday. This week they've been getting ready, and it's been a lot of work, a lot of details to put together, and the whole staff has been scurrying to get things in place. The Altar Guild has been getting pumpkins and things for altar decorations, and the choir has been putting together a wonderful anthem. Their big concern has been getting people to respond to the lunch that they're having afterwards. They handed out the cards, you know, they were going to come to the dinner and things like this, but people there are very, very slow about getting those cards in. And last Sunday, they discovered that there are about 50 people in the congregation that they thought really should be there and who they expected to be there who hadn't really said whether they were coming or not. And it was important, since it was a catered lunch, not a carry-in, that they have pretty close numbers. And so they've had to do some phone calling. They don't want to waste food. They're getting a good deal from the caterer. It's a relative of one of the members of the congregation, so they're getting about 10% off. But they really don't want to waste the food. Mel Falstaff, who is the member of the church council there and chairman of the stewardship committee, has been really in charge of the whole thing, and he did most of the phone calling. He is so enthusiastic about stewardship and about giving, and he loves to talk. He's been a perfect fit. So he's been busy this week. He made most of the phone calls himself. But 2 weeks ago on Sunday, he talked Pastor Baldridge into letting him tell his giving story as the Sunday morning sermon. And so he did that. And it's quite a compelling story. You see, Mel is a relatively new Christian. He's been a Christian for about 10 or 15 years. I think it's 15 years now. He had done everything in the corporate world. I mean, that had been his life, and he had been very successful at it. He worked for a paper company, Northern Lights, out of Neenah, Wisconsin, a big paper company. Maybe some of you have used their products. It's mostly toilet tissues and paper towels and things like that. And he had been put in charge of the whole Southwest region, and his job was to go around and talk to stores about product placement and things like that. Been very, very successful. And so they moved here about 15 years ago and bought a place in Chandler, a nice house. He had a nice house, a fine wife, and just all the toys that a 50-year-old man could want. But something wasn't quite right. He just felt this dissatisfaction. He didn't know what was wrong. And then something happened. Now, this is going to sound strange. But it happened to Mel, and it's a part of his story, an integral part of his story. And I'll share it with you. It's a longer one as he tells it, but I just kind of shorten it a bit. He had landscapers who did his winter grass every year, and they had put the winter grass in, and they were watering the heck out of it, okay? So it was very moist in his backyard. The grass had started to come up. And he noticed that some of these fungi, mushrooms, fairy circles, those kinds of things, were starting to come up in the moisture and stuff like that. And he made a call to his landscaper and said, "Well, do something about those. I don't want those fairy rings in my backyard." Well, one morning he was in his bathroom upstairs, looking out on his backyard, and he noticed in his backyard, in the green grass back there, that those fairy rings. And this is where it sounds weird. The fairy rings had come up, those mushrooms had come up, and it was the face of Jesus. It was the face of Jesus right there in the grass in his backyard. And he was just stunned. He'd heard about stuff like this before, the face of Jesus in a taco or on a wall or stuff like that. He never expected that something this would actually happen to him. And he called his wife up and they looked. Well, that very same week, his neighbor, a guy named Lauren Mead, who was a member of Crown and Cactus, they had a Bring a Friend Sunday. Well, Lauren invited Mel to come to church. And so Mel did. Something was happening in his life. He didn't know what it was. And so he went to Crown and Cactus. Now, the sermon that particular morning wasn't that inspiring. Pastor Baldridge is not that good a preacher. But there's just something about the congregation that was warm and compelling, and Mel felt at home there, and they came back. And after some weeks and some, hit and miss, they decided that they were going to make a commitment, they were going to join the congregation. So they arranged to come to the pastor's class. And Mel was so curious and so excited, and he'd heard about a lot of these things before. He'd been pretty much unchurched since going to Sunday school as a child. And he was learning these things now as an adult. And it made so much sense to him, and he loved hearing it from Pastor Baldridge, who was a very good teacher. He felt drawn to become a member of the congregation. The very last thing at that session, Pastor Baldridge said, "I want you to know that Crown and Cactus is the very best deal you'll ever find for an organization. We're not like a Rotary Club. We're not like a Kiwanis Club. We don't have annual dues. There are no fees whatsoever. Our congregation, our organization is absolutely, completely free. You get all the services we provide for absolutely nothing. You can get married here, buried here, have your children baptized, all pastoral counseling, everything. It's all free. It's the best deal you'll ever find." And Mel was very excited to hear that. And then Pastor Baldridge pulled out the commitment cards and passed them out. And he said, "Even though grace is what we celebrate here in Crown and Cactus, everything is free, we do believe in giving people the opportunity to say thank you to God for all the gifts and all the blessings that they have received. And so we ask people, if they want to make a commitment to the life and the mission of the congregation for the coming year. It helps us to plan a budget and to make arrangements for our ministry." Well, that made sense to Mel. It made sense. It didn't make sense to him that everything was free and that nobody ever paid anything. But this made sense to him. So he took a card and he started to fill it out. But the very first line was one that he was puzzled by, because it wasn't a dollar amount, it was a percentage. It said, "Amount of my income that God is calling me to give." Not the amount, the percentage of my income that God is calling me to give. He asked about it. What's this percentage thing about? And Pastor Baldridge said, "Well, that's, the people of God have always believed in proportionate giving, and the Bible teaches tithing." Well, Mel wasn't familiar with the word tithe. Pastor Baldridge explained it. It says 10% for God's work. Well, 10%. Mel did some quick calculations. At that point, he and Lil were together making over $200,000, right around $200,000 a year. And 10% would be $20,000 to this congregation that he had just gotten acquainted with a few months before. He left that line blank. Okay? He wrote in $20 and the amount blank and handed it in. $20. $20. It would be like a tip. It would be like a tip. No, it was a generous tipper. When he went to a restaurant or something, often he would give the server a $20 bill. So it was good service. And so he decided that, well, yeah, $20, if things continue to go well for him and for his wife, $20, good tip for God for the good things that he had received. Later that fall, Mel, having continued that pattern of faithfully giving $20 a Sunday, and if the sermon happened to be good on a Sunday, he'd give 30. Later that fall, they had their regular stewardship campaign, and they had temple talks and things like that. And one of the speakers was an older woman in the congregation. His name was Myrtle Breyer. And Myrtle got up and told her giving story. She's from North Dakota. She and her husband, Oscar, had been farmers near in the western part of the state. And they had, early on in their life, decided that they would give an annual tithe, and they would break it down and give it on a weekly basis. They started out at about 2%, and then they added a 0.5% every year. And she said in her talk that as they added that 0.5%, as they grew in their giving through the year, they reached 10% and even went beyond that. Now, Myrtle, bless her heart, it really wasn't that good a talk because she kept breaking down when she talked about her husband, Oscar. He had died just a couple years before, which is why they moved down here to be near her son, who lives in Queen Creek. That's Jim. He runs an ostrich ranch there. But she missed her husband so much. She missed him so much. And she'd cry. She thought about him. And so she was wiping her tears away as she told her giving story. And so even though those tears kind of impaired with what she said, they revealed her heart in a big way. And that's what really drew people in. And as Mel listened to that, he and Lil were sitting there listening to this story. He felt moved. He did some quick calculations about what percentage he was giving. He did $20. Well, he decided he was at about the 0.5%. Thought about that. And then he got out his pen. And he got out the card that he'd brought with him to the service that day. And he filled in that blank spot. He wrote in 2%. And then he crossed out the $20 in the amount slot and wrote in 75. And he showed it to his wife. She looked at him. Her eyebrows went up like that. And then she smiled. And they turned it in. Well, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of his journey in giving. He added a percentage each year after that. And the two of them, Lil and Mel, they blew through that 10% mark and moved way beyond that. And that was Mel's story. And he told it well. He told it with humor. He told it with jokes. It was compelling. And that's what he does. He sells paper products. He sells toilet paper, for Pete's sake. He's a good talker. Okay, he's a good talker. It was a compelling talk. Afterwards, some of the people thought that he'd just been bragging. The altar guild women talked about it the next day when they gathered for their meeting. And she said, I just can't believe that. You know, he just stood up there and he about told us how much he was giving. I just think that's awful. I think he must, I don't think he's a Lutheran. Okay. I think he's Baptist. Lutherans don't talk like that. They don't put that out for everybody. But there's some who had heard and thought, oh, that's interesting, and it didn't move him one bit. That was probably the majority of the folks sitting out there on that Sunday morning. I mean, their giving habits have been fixed for years, and having some nice talk by a paper salesman on a Sunday morning certainly wasn't going to change the way they gave. But there were some, a couple of families. And Mel's talk really sparked conversation for them. One of those families was a couple. It was Clarence and Lillian Loken. They had moved here from Iowa just last year. And as Clarence listened to Mel's story, it was so familiar for him because he'd been an active member of a congregation back in Iowa for years and years and years. In fact, he'd been on the church council and he had chaired the stewardship program. And they'd been tithers back there in Iowa. And so he knew Mel's story and he knew about the joy of giving and he knew all those things and how it draws you into a community and how it really enhances your commitment to God. He knew all of those things. Now, in the winter times at Christmas, they would come out to visit their son in Gilbert. His son and his wife live in Gilbert. They have a couple of children. They don't go to church at all, but like many grandparents do when they come out to visit their children, they stimulate the children to go to church at least once. Okay? And they would do that on Christmas Eve. And so even if the kids didn't want to, they would at least go to church. And that's how they found Crown and Cactus. They wandered in there one Christmas Eve, and the son and his family were very uncomfortable. Clarence and Lillian liked it. And so from then on, whenever they came back to visit, they would worship there. And so when they moved here about a year and a half ago and settled in Gilbert, bought a house out there, they decided to become members of the congregation. They're retired. New life here in the Southwest. But one thing had changed, and that was their giving. No longer did they have an income related to work. Now they had annuities. Now they were living on Social Security. It was very different for them. Their income had been cut in half from what it had been. And as Clarence and Lil had thought about giving, frankly, they were grateful not to have to tithe anymore. They were grateful that they could now use that money that they'd been given to the church for something else, something that they needed in fixing up their new house here in Gilbert. They gave. They gave whenever they came. They weren't there every Sunday. You know how it is with retired people. They came, they went. They came, but when they came, there was $20, sometimes $40. So as Clarence listened to Mel talk, he resonated with Mel had to say because he'd said the very same things some years before. So he understood that, and so as Mel talked, he felt guilty. But then this other part of him says, wait a minute. I've done my time. I've done my service. I've done my giving. I'm retired. I'm retired. God, I'm retired. That conversation went on in his head. Last week, Clarence and Lillian talked about their pledge card. Both of them had been touched by Mel's talk. Both of them realized that they'd gotten away from giving. And as they had conversation, they realized that this was going to be a big step if they returned to tithing. This time it was going to be in sacrifice. Before, no big deal. But now, with reduced income, all that money that they're saving by not tithing, well, they'd have to find another place for their tithe. Clarence thought he might have to give up a couple of rounds of golf each week. Some sacrifices were going to have to be made. They sat talking about this on last Friday evening as they watched the news roll in from the Paris massacre on their television set. They were just horrified by what was taking place. It was just awful, just awful. They can't understand it. They can't understand that kind of wanton killing that's taking place in our world. Leon said, I'm so grateful that we found a community down here where we can hear a word of hope. Where we can hear a word of hope and a reminder that we are loved by God. So grateful for that community. I don't know what I'd do without that gospel message week after week, given the way things are going on in our world. I talked some more. Lillian said, I know it will mean sacrifice, but I don't want you to give up your golf. I know that's important to you. You've worked so long for that. Finally, she said, well, we've got to make a decision. What percentage of our income is God calling us to give? Both sat there. Clarence had an idea. He said, let's write down a number on a piece of paper, just independently, and we'll see where we're thinking. And so they did. Clarence wrote down a number. Lillian wrote down a number. They showed each other their numbers. It's exactly the same. They smiled. Lillian got their estimate of giving card. They filled it out, wrote in that number. She's at church this morning. Both of them are. They're there at Crown and Cactus, and when it comes time for the offering, why, they're going to bring their estimate of giving card up to the front and present it. She's going to stay for the lunch afterwards. Clarence isn't. He's got a tea time at 11:30. There are some things in life that are almost as important as church. Well, that's the word from Crown and Cactus Lutheran Church, where all the women are committed, the men are faithful, and the children are all growing in grace. We'll stand and sing, I guess.